Good morning to all the listeners out of the broadcast. We're certainly glad to come to you again by means of radio with the gospel message. In this series, we continue with the book of Job, specifically dealing with the seven tests of Job. He had indeed great and sore trials, but the scriptures say there was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job, and that man was perfect and upright, and one that feared God and eschewed evil, Job 1:1. In the previous message, we considered two of the tests, prosperity and adversity. Instead of going from rags to riches, he went from riches to rags, so to speak. His riches were taken away swiftly, and he was left in poverty. How marvelous that he was still able to say, "The Lord gave and the Lord has taken away." So, he was tested to the extreme or the ultimate. Perhaps one might think they have grace to face the great challenge of life and yet find themselves short when faced with the little day-to-day annoyances. We may indeed be called to pass through the great tests of life, and again, we might never have to go through some of these severe trials which Job met. Yet one thing is sure, we are called daily to be faithful in the little things. One scripture expresses the writer's thought in this way, "Keep back thy servant also from presumptuous sins. Let them not have dominion over me. Then shall I be upright, and I shall be innocent from the great transgression." Psalms 19:13. Being faithful in little things will prepare us for greater tests. Little things? We call him strong who stands unmoved, calm as some tempest-beaten rock. When some great trouble hurls its shock, we say of him his strength is proved. But when the spent storm folds its wings, how bears he then life's little things? We call him great that does some deed that echo bears from shore to shore, does that and then does nothing more. Yet would his work earn richer meed when brought before the King of Kings, were he but great in little things? We closely guard our castle gates when great temptations loudly knock. Draw every bolt, clench every lock, and sternly fold our bars and gates. Yet some small door wide open swings at the sly touch of little things. But what is life? Drops make the sea, and petty cares and small events, small causes and small consequences, make up the sum for you and me. Then, oh, for strength to meet the stings that arm the points of little things. The tests of Job already considered were these: 1, prosperity, and 2, adversity. This brings us to the third, sorrow. Job was deprived of all his children. He lost them all in one swift storm. I believe Job was an affectionate and considerate father. He prayed for his children continually that they might be forgiven for anything which they might have done wrongfully. How typical of a parent whose love goes out to each child regardless of their actions in life. His loss in sorrow was perhaps greater than all his property loss. It is reported that a man who lost all he had came home and buried his face in his hands and began to weep. His little 4-year-old was very much disturbed and asked why his tears. And he said, "Darling, we've lost everything we have. The home, the business, all is lost. We're ruined." The little girl threw her arms about her daddy's neck and said, "No, Daddy, you haven't lost everything. You have Mommy and me yet." But this was not so with Job, except he still had his companion. He had lost all 7 sons and 3 daughters. I don't know how they might have buried them, whether all in one grave or separately. But if they used caskets, as is common now, then there would have been 10. Think of that. Sorrow upon sorrow was added to Job. The storm had swept his home clean of every child. His grief was no doubt beyond words. This was the unspeakable test of sorrow. Let us look at God's true plan for the homes. I'm glad to report to you that God still has great, true, tender-hearted men. And by their sides, He places wonderful, affectionate sweetheart wives. They are to be sweethearts for life. Each is to care for, assist, and love the other. He knits these hearts together in a love akin to the divine. Then out of these closely bound lives, a little child is born. It too is enthralled in the glorious meshes of cords that bind and hold. What an intertwining of souls, father, mother, baby. The days which so swiftly pass tend to increase and deepen these sacred ties. Then in some mysterious way, unknown and misunderstood by the parents, the angel of death tears all these heartstrings to tatters. The child is dead. A tragedy, we say. Only those parents who've borne a child in prenatal bliss and have dreamed the sweet dreams of a darling baby, and only those whose hungry arms have held a precious child and lost, can know the unspeakable anguish of such a sorrow. I believe if we could have looked upon Job's face in this his deepest sorrow, we would have seen one pale with grief. It would have told something of his sorrow and test. Yet, Job had an anchor that held in sorrow's storm. When there was no star in sight, and hope was taken from his blackened sky, and his breath was heavy with his heartache. It was a terrific test of sorrow. Yet Job said, "The Lord gave, and the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." In all this, Job sinned not, nor charged God foolishly. Job 1:21-22. The fourth test was physical affliction. Job was smitten with boils from the sole of his feet to the crown of his head. Just think of having boils in the form of carbuncles all over one's body. Job was so miserable that he just sat down among the ashes and scraped himself with a potsherd. He was miserable all over. No place on his body was left unaffected. It was sore all over. But let us not forget, God has a way of bringing His saints through the tests of life. Some of life's hardest learned lessons come through physical affliction. When we're strong, what care we how the storms howl against our cabin door? What do we care if the wolves snarl about the place? So long as we are strong and able, we can take care of ourselves. Men glory in the storms that come as long as they're able-bodied. But it is a different scene when one is laid low in sickness, when one is called upon to face death, when one's health is gone and the storms of adversity howl at our window and the wolf of hunger snarls at our door. Then comes a test. How do we muster courage then? These are the times which try men's souls to see of what metal they're made. Job was again faithful in this situation of physical affliction. He still looked to God. The fifth test of Job was a failure of his companion to support him. It could have been that this test was one of his bitterest ones. She proved untrue in the moment when he needed her most. If ever he needed a precious, tender, sympathizing companion, it was now. But she had failed him in the hour of his deepest need. Not only this, but it seems to me she became cruel and harsh. She must have been resentful that God allowed all this to happen to her Job. Perhaps she had thought she had it made for life. But this was not the case. She, too, was called to endure the scorns and criticisms of being demoted from wealth to poverty. This was more than she was prepared to accept. So she said to Job, "Dost thou still retain thine integrity? Curse God and die." Job 2:9. Now comes a bitter truth for Job. His companion was no longer willing to go the way of the Lord. As long as that way was lined with riches and honor, she gladly trod along with Job. But no longer was this the case. She just figured it was all over for Job. He had seen his good days, and now the bitter end was in sight. So, as far as she was concerned, she was willing to go down cursing God for it all. Can you imagine what that conversation would have been like if Job had responded according to her folly? What if he had taken her advice? Would the end of Job have been different than what it is reported to have been? Indeed so. We might never have had it recorded for our benefit. How could she have said such things? And here again, we see how important it is for one companion to hold steady when the other is storm-tossed. Upon reflection, Mrs. Job may have been sorry that she ever uttered such a foolish thing. But Job took the way of faith. He dropped anchor, so to speak. He was abiding time till the passing of the storm. Job held steady. How wonderful. So, in every home, when a companion has come to some very exasperating situation, it is very great for the other to be the anchor, to remain sweet, tender, and kind. How gracious for a husband or a wife to be the soul of consideration, to do far more than his or her share in lifting the load at such times, to throw the oil of quietness on the troubled waves. The home is a very important place where a person can show real genuineness of salvation, love, and character when one companion is storm-tossed and distressed. To be never failing in tenderness is the mark of real sanctification. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Matthew 5:9. So Job's reply to her statement was this: "But he said unto her, Thou speakest as one of the foolish women speaketh. What? Shall we receive good at the hand of God, and shall we not receive evil? In all this did not Job sin with his lips." Job 2:10. Our Father, we're so thankful that the grace of God is sufficient for all our needs. It proved to be sufficient for Job. You took him through, and we believe that the power of God is the same today as ever. Bless every listener as they may need, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Be sure to keep tuned as we continue with the 7 tests of Job. Until we meet again, this is Willie Murphy saying God bless and keep you always, and a very cheerful goodbye.